Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like all things spooky. We like to, really, really self-care for ourselves.
It's true.
It is. It's facts. So,
hashtag
Danae,
facts.
What did you do this week for self-care?
This week for self-care, well, specifically today, I let myself sleep in really late. And it was nice.
I hate you, but, like, I love that for you. But I hate you because I'm so tired.
Yeah, my job doesn't really care. If, like, I don't know. We're there at, like, 9:15, really.
That's nice.
So.
Yeah.
I was a little bit late. So it was, like, 9:30, and I was like, sorry.
You're like, this whole thing is just crazy.
But no one, like, wrote me up or anything. It's not like that, you know?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine working for a job that would, like, write you up?
Yeah, I used to for, like, my whole entire career.
Danae, you are 5 minutes late. Yeah. Fuck you.
They're like, you're consistently 3 minutes late, but you're also our top producer, so
I'm consistent.
You're written up. And I'm like, okay, well, let me quit then. Bye.
Bye. I feel like I'm 3 minutes late. It does not matter what
time
I leave.
It's always 3 minutes, right?
Always 3 minutes. And it's like, I leave at different times all the time. And even when I'm like, I'm going to be late, I'm still 3 minutes late.
Yeah, it's so, like, also, who cares? What was I doing in those 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, probably just sitting there making coffee.
Yeah. Or just, like, waking up.
Yeah.
Because, my God, I can't do it that in the car. So.
Yeah. What did you do?
Well, we kind of went to a celebration dinner. Keith started his new job. We went to Ted's Montana Grill, and your girl got a buffalo burger.
Buffalo.
It was so good. So it was, like, something to, like, celebrate him. But also, like, it was just really nice. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of, like, nothing too crazy, so it was just nice to, like, do something kind of, like, I don't know. We went to Southlands?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, that place is so freaking cute.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not anything, like, I thought of, but, like.
Is it, like, an outdoor mall?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was, like, really cute, because we had never been there, and it's not, like, super far from us.
Yeah.
Hi, triangulating my area. But it was, like, cute area, like, good food. It was, like, kind of a nice night, just nothing too crazy, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Also, I have to give you an update.
Oh. Spooky update?
Yeah, spooky update.
Okay.
Okay, our house is haunted. Maybe it's haunted. It is. And I gotta be honest with you, I hate it. It stresses me out.
Oh, no, what happened
I didn't think I would have a reaction like that. I thought, like, I'd always be like, it's kind of cool. No, I hate it. So, I'll tell you, Keith's story. He was looking for his drill and he couldn't find it anywhere, and he remembered where he kept it. Like, he kept it, like, upstairs, like, kind of near the kitchen.
Okay.
And he, like, went upstairs and downstairs, and then Keith was like, it'd be really cool if I could find my drill. That's all I'm looking for. He went upstairs. It was in a place he had already looked, like, 8 times.
Oh, weird.
Just sitting there.
Ooh.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of this
at all. Mischievous ghost? Okay, so what happened to you?
Okay, so mine, kind of the same thing. He didn't tell me this story until I told him. So, you know me, I love my eyeshadows. Mm-hmm. Like, I like my makeup.
Yeah.
So, the other day, I've been using this new palette. It is Smashbox. It's called, like, Minimalist. I bought another one because it was on sale. Like, it's that good. And I'm like, I'm going to wear this forever.
Sure.
So, I'm like, I don't want to open my new one. I had just gotten it, like, in December. And I had just bought, one. And I have one on reserve.
Okay. For when you run out.
Yeah exactly. Because it's that good.
Uh-huh.
So I was looking for it the other morning and I was like really annoyed, and I lifted up everything on my makeup table. You've seen my makeup table.
Mm-hmm.
It's not huge. It's like lifted up everything. It wasn't
vanity.
There. I took my bag. Keep this in mind. I took my makeup bag and I dumped it out on the bed. I didn't see it. And I like was like pissed because I'm like, I am not opening the new one. I just got this one like a few weeks ago. So that night I was like, well, maybe it fell on the floor. So I'm like looking under stuff, like looking underneath the bed. And I remember dumping out my bag and like putting the stuff in it. Like I remember this vividly because it was kind of annoying that I did that on the bed. Right. Like whatever. So I'm just like getting annoyed. I go downstairs and I'm like, I'm not accusing you. I'm wondering if the dogs took it. I don't. Ruger bit shit. My Brandon dollars.
Yeah.
I'm still mad about it, but I have one and it is laminated because I'm ridiculous. So anyway, so and Keith was like, well, if they did, you know, you'd see remnants of makeup all over. Yeah, you'd see like
pieces and it would be probably a mess.
Exactly. And I was like, you're right, you're right. So I go back and I'm like, it'd be really nice if I could have my makeup palette. I don't want to open the new one. I just said this out loud because I'm weird. I went upstairs. I dumped out my bag. It was in there.
What the hell?
There were 3 items in that bag.
Oh my God.
Here's the thing. And I got in trouble for saying this. I said, it is, we respect you. We love you. If you need to cross over to the other side, need help, we will help you. I was like, you can stay here. And Mr. Man was like, no, you can't.
Why'd you say you can stay here?
Because I want them to know that, like, they don't have to rush. They can cross over when the time's right. Just don't fuck with us.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I was told, you can't say that it's our house.
Well, what if it's a demon?
Cross over, but like do it on your own time, bro. But well, they're demons hiding aren't things. Humans. All I said was, don't try to scare us and please don't take our things. You're loved and respected. Please cross over. But if you need time, I can understand that. Uh-oh, I don't know. I was nice. I think
you just invited a demon into your house because you don't even know if it's a spirit.
But all it did was breathe in my ear once and hide our things. Ew. Oh, God, it's a demon.
It's definitely a demon. But no, I don't know. I did look up on the assessor page for your county, the sales deeds, and the person who lived there before you was not the original owner like we thought. There's like 6 other people that lived there before her.
I thought there was one person, then her. We'll talk about it later. Yeah,
so if we need to do some research,
let's do
it. We've got names to find out who maybe potentially is haunting your house. And then we can Ouija board it.
And we'll talk about it to you guys. Don't worry. We won't keep you hanging. Sorry, I had to tell you the haunted story of my home. But I hope it's not a demon. But
let's hope it's not a demon. Yeah, for that your would sake. Suck
so much. So anyways,
what are you telling me about?
All right, so I'm going to tell you the story of Robert Spengler. And my sources are...
Why does that sound familiar?
Spengler. This is actually one that after I did the research, I remember like a few months ago, maybe like a few years ago, you were like, oh my God, this takes place in Littleton.
Oh, is it this one?
Yep.
Oh, fuck yes, I love this one. Okay. I mean, like, it's just like so...
So bizarre. So bizarre.
Oh, God.
So okay. My sources are This Is Monsters. And This Is Monsters. The guy is amazing. He just says, like, he's not, like, he's very informative. He has a very serious voice. But then he says, like, sarcastic, like, dry humor. I love it.
Okay.
Because they'll be like, because that's fucking cool. Anyways, like, just the way he delivers it, I think, is hilarious.
I'll have to check
and
it
then
out.
Park Predators. Mm. And then My Favorite Murder. And I'll tell you kind of, like, a fact about this, like, that's kind of crazy, like, a degree of separation.
Oh. Because
this took place, like, around us. Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so January 10th, 1933, Capricorn, Robert Spengler was born in Des Moines, Iowa. And I just want to say, I ragged on Iowa last, like, on Danae's episode 2 weeks ago. And I just want to say, I haven't been to Des Moines, but a lot of people said Des Moines cool. So sorry, Iowa, if I hurt your feelings. Sioux Falls, I do not take what back what I said. Sorry. Not sorry.
I said what I said.
Iowa, sorry. I haven't been to Des Moines, but I heard it's beautiful. So that's cool, I guess. So he was raised in Ames, Iowa, which is kind of like pretty close. And I'm going to switch between saying Robert and Bob because I wrote both in my notes. So just know I'm talking about him when I like.
It's Rob Bob, obviously.
Rob Bob. So he always kind of had an extreme temper. Like, there was a case where a kid had knowingly, like, that he disliked, like, drowned in, like, a sewage area.
Oh.
And I don't know. They just thought, like, there's like, it's unfair to say there was a connection. Sure. But it was just kind of like, the situation was weird. I mean, he got questioned by
like, he was mad at the kid or something, or
he
what?
Just didn't like the kid, and the kid, like, died drowning, so, like, in a sewage area, and it was just, like, weird. They questioned a lot of people, but he was one of the people, questioned, but it wasn't...
How old was he at that time?
I'm not sure. I think, like, probably somewhere between middle school and high school.
Oh, okay.
Just
okay.
Kind of in that range, but it was just kind of noted, and, you know, it's not fair to say he did it or he didn't do it, because they don't know.
Yeah.
So, but it was just kind of something interesting, and being questioned by the police. So, he played tennis, basketball, track, and mainly football.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're aggressive, it's good to just throw yourself into sports. And he was a fullback, and I know you know all about that.
You know, fullback is my favorite position, along with
the down touch,
the touchdowner, and the wide receiver.
Quarterback. Good job. I'm
Thank
proud of
you. Football expert.
I'm impressed. You're learning. You're learning.
I'm learning. I'm, you know, letting it absorb into my brain.
Yeah.
I think I'm really becoming a football, like, fan.
Aficionado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go I just Broncos.
I just really quickly want to say that my favorite thing ever was we were watching the football game. This is, like, 2 weeks ago. And we were watching it with your stepmom, Adana. Shout out, Adana. And, all the guys were cheering, and I look over at Danae, and Danae has her hands up in the air, and then everyone went, ugh, and Danae just, like, hit her knee, like, all disappointed, and it is my favorite thing ever, because I literally lost it, because I was laughing so hard, because I was like, she has no idea what's going on.
No,
and
I
then
just,
you're like, darn!
And mimicking the actions of others.
It was so great. It made me so happy. But his team did super well, so that was good for him. So Robert met Nancy. Nancy was kind of like his first wife. They were like high school sweethearts, and they both went to Iowa State. And
did you watch the documentary on this?
No, I did not. But I know. Wish I should I watch
good.
It?
You need to watch it. I think it's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's like
I will because
I think it's like a series on like people who die in parks or something. And this is the first episode.
Shh, don't give it away yet.
Oh, sorry.
Don't give it away. Give it away.
Give it away now.
I cannot myself. They moved to Minnesota, and they welcomed their first son, David, in 1961, which is like our parents' age, if you think about
That's the year my mom was born.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like, oh. They then moved to New York for Robert to work on Sesame Street. So he was kind of like moving up.
Oh,
he was doing like PR and stuff.
What? Oh, okay.
And then they had their daughter Susan in August 14th, 1963. Obviously not the same year, but like close to my nephew's birthday. So that's cool. And Robert would come to Colorado all the time to work on the Honeywell Corp. It's kind of like production company kind of thing. From what I understand, because I was like, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
And he fell in love with Colorado. And
I mean, who doesn't?
I mean, yeah. Welcome to a place you can't afford a home.
Well, you did.
Thank God. It was not easy to do. They moved to Littleton, Colorado. Have you ever been there?
I love it here.
I wrote my notes and I was laughing. I was like, have you been there, Danae? You would love it.
We should probably not tell people where we... Whatever, it's fine.
Littleton's massive.
Yeah.
Find us. Well, right now, like, our moms listen. They know where we live.
Yeah, they do. So
they see where we sleep. It's fine. He did PR for the Waterworks Association, which is just kind of like, you know, making sure... Because I don't know if you know this, but Colorado has one of the best sanitation processes for water.
Really?
They had to start that in the early 2000s because... I don't know if you remember this,
like,
but Leadville's water was, like, lighting on fire.
Yes.
Because there was
no,
so
I
much
do
oil.
Remember that.
So Colorado, not at this time when he was working there, but Colorado had to, like, change their process. We have the most strenuous process, but we also go to other states, so it kind of makes sense that it would be here. He was just kind of with the Waterworks Association, but just saying, like, we have the cleanest water, but, you know, you don't need to know that.
Not to brag, but,
Not to brag, but we are not having pesticides. Nancy and Robert, they loved hiking, so Colorado was obviously perfect
for
that.
Like, a great choice for them.
And Nancy was a stay-at-home mom. She was an amazing wife and would do anything for Robert. I mean, homegirl moved around a lot.
Yeah, like, they his job New York to Colorado, like, yeah, that's so different.
Like, Iowa, Minnesota, yeah. New York, Colorado. Like, that's commitment right there, because mm-hmm. it's not easy. I mean...
And starting over and making friends. Yeah,
it's hard moving state to state. Like, it's annoying, like, moving in within the state, but oh my gosh. I moved out of state once and then back, and that was expensive, and
yeah,
oh my god, so annoying.
I'm that loser that's never left the state.
What?
I've never left the state, like, don't. For living purposes.
It was...
It's just really great here.
I think it's cool, like, that I have that experience, but it also, like, didn't last long, so it's not, like...
And you hated it.
I hated it. I hated the person I lived with. Yes, yeah. I hated you. Listen. Anyways, but during this time, he had gotten a new administrative associate, Sharon, who was born in 1952, and she was, you know, 9 years older than his son.
Yeah.
And, you know... 19 years younger than him, and she was 24.
Of course she was.
And she was super hot. And she seemed flirty, but I guess that was kind of with everyone. But people were like, they're having an affair. Like, for sure, they're having an affair. But others were like...
Vibes.
Probably, but, like, she's flirty with everyone, so... But they were definitely having doing an affair. It. And she was also outdoorsy, and surely we see where this is going.
Uh-oh, you they're know? Fucking in the woods. Yeah.
They were having an affair, and Nancy was not cool with this, which, why would she be?
She found like, out, she like, found immediately? Out.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, sorry.
But, like, I'm when glad you hear she this did. Story, yeah, you can just tell, like, he's egotistical, and he's, like, thinks he's above everyone else. And that was kind of, like, a big point of this, is, like, he's very, like, full of himself, mm-hmm. which, obviously.
It's my favorite quality in a man.
Right? So, when Nancy found out, he immediately moved from his house on Franklin Way to Nancy's Pearl Street house.
Ooh, Pearl Street.
In Denver.
Nice.
I know. Fancy. So, he lives with Sharon for a year and hardly talked to his kids.
That's but shitty.
It was the kids' fault because,
What?
They were unruly.
Yeah, because they're kids.
They smoke. And they smoke marijuana.
How could they?
Marijuana.
They take marijuana.
They snorted it. And died immediately. But this rubbing is like, it on their this gums. Is what he said. Like, I'm being sarcastic, yeah, obviously. Yeah. And David. David had long hair. And he was in a band.
What?
And Susan. I said, oh, the horror. And Susan brought home boys.
Well, yeah.
No.
Oh, my God.
And Robert didn't really like the except from the
man
kids.
Who's having an affair.
Yeah.
Like, shut up.
Yeah, I'm just like, because you know he was
Robert.
Like, David Bob. Has long hair and they smoke marijuana. Because like, I think that's what boomers say. It's because it's funny.
Yeah.
And Susan, boys like her. Like, okay.
So it sounds like his kids are now teenagers.
Yeah, they're definitely teenagers. And Sharon didn't like kids at all, so... Obviously.
She's like, I'm only 9 years older than them, so, like, they're...
So, I get it. I mean, at 24, I was going out and doing my damn thing, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't remember 24. Those were years. So, after this year, shockingly, Robert got sick of Sharon and moved back with his wife and was gonna work on things. Because they need to work things out.
My eyes are rolling so hard.
Sure. I'm sure Nancy felt, like, the pressure because, like...
Sure.
She was a stay-at-home mom.
Well, and probably he convinced her, like, and was like, I made a mistake. And, you know, it's okay to forgive people.
Yeah.
But I think it's just also, like, it's the same shit.
I just feel so bad for her because, like... But I'm sure, like, she felt the pressure of everything. But it's not horrible because Nancy had written a letter to her parents about how she was going to graduate soon. She went back to school.
High school?
College. Oh. This is Nancy the wife.
Oh, sorry.
So she went back. No, you're fine. She went back and got her degree. I'm not exactly sure which school she went to, but I mean, Colorado.
Good for her.
Yeah, exactly. And she was going to get like, and she was like doing PR because I'm sure she had watched, you know, Robert and was a stay-at-home mom, probably like listened to him a lot. And she was like, I could do this.
Yeah. Now her kids are older so she can focus more on herself. Because
she doesn't need to be like at home with the kids and like.
When they're 16.
And I'm sure she was kind of like. If this doesn't work out with him, I, like, want to do my own thing.
Absolutely.
Which was super, like, I thought that was great.
Good for Nance.
And, she wrote a letter to her parents about, that and, how she wanted to get a job in PR and that things with Robert were going great. So,
okay.
If she's happy, we're happy.
Yeah.
but
because you can't control people's relationships, you can't.
You're not tell on the them inside. What to do. Yeah, exactly. So I'm sad that she had experienced that, but if she was happy, we're whatever. Who's you know, to we're say, happy. Like, exactly. Yeah. So basically, this letter didn't sound like somebody who was struggling with mental health issues.
Oh, foreshadowing.
Yeah. So probably. I didn't. So Robert kind of had a plan to figure things out for a while. He got into an argument with Nancy in front of Susan's friends on December 28th, 1978. They were like, we should do a New Year's party, and Nancy was like, yeah, you guys can definitely like do that. And Robert just flew off the handle, and all of
because he didn't want to have a New Year's party or what.
He didn't want the kids to have a New Year's party. He was trying to start a fight with Nancy.
Okay, sir, relax.
Yeah, and the kids were like, I've never seen somebody so enraged. He was finding a reason. And Nancy was like,
picking.
Oh, my kids who I love, you know, because I'm a good mom and, like, stayed with my children during these trying times, want to have a party, I'll help them out.
Yeah.
And it was just Nancy, her friends, and her her boyfriend, who I think his name.
What's the daughter's name?
Her name's Susan. Okay, and
so Susan's boyfriend?
So, yeah, Susan's boyfriend, Tim, and just a few of her friends were asking.
Okay.
Nancy so, like, said yes. So,
a small gathering.
Yeah, exactly. And this was on December 28th, 1978. Just keep that in mind. And yeah, Robert was just trying to find any reason and said she's too lenient on the kids. And it's like, dude, fuck right off. You were not there for your kids for a year because you were doing things with Sharon.
Farting around with Sharon.
You were probably, like, slapping silly sticks. I don't know.
What?
Just batting each other's shit around
is
for
that a
year.
A thing?
I don't know. I felt so dumb saying it. So.
Okay.
You can say that to your children, everyone. You're welcome. That one's free. That one's on the house. So Susan and her friends were like, what the fuck? That was so weird. And Susan was like, yeah, well, my parents are definitely going to get a divorce, which. Okay. So on the morning of December 30th, Robert grabbed his gun off the shelf. He was 6'2", so he was very tall. Nancy was not so tall, so he put a stepladder in front of it, so it looked like somebody shorter had grabbed it to grab something off the shelf.
This douche.
So you see where this is going. Yeah. He had a letter prepared that he had pre-typed that he put in the typewriter. He went upstairs and told Nancy to come to the basement because he had a surprise for her. And he made her close her eyes, and he shot her in the forehead.
Wow, dick move.
After making her close her eyes, yep. And then he went upstairs, and this is, like, pretty early in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like, probably, like, around 5-ish, 4-ish, something like that. Just yeah. And he went upstairs, and he found Susan sleeping in her bed, and he shot her through the heart.
He shot his own daughter?
He shot his own daughter through the heart.
Okay, so maybe I don't know this one.
You do. It's, you'll get it. Okay. And the fortunate part about this was she didn't suffer because it's like the last thing you want. Like, I was reading it and I'm like, well, I guess like the only silver lining is that she didn't suffer. Jesus. However, she was 15.
Oh, my God. So yeah. He's making it look like Nancy shot Susan and then shot herself.
Well, let's see what happens.
Ugh, I hate him already.
So he went to David's room and he shot David once and David woke up. And was like, what the fuck? But Robert was like, well, I can only look like I shot them once because it's supposed to not look like I was the one who did it. So he smothered him with a pillow.
Oh, my God.
And then he's like, well, I guess if this happened, like, Nancy wouldn't be able to restrain him. So he shot him again. And he killed him. He was 17.
Dude.
So he went downstairs, put the gun next to Nancy to make make it look like she did it.
And then he just, like, was busy somewhere.
So he put a note in the typewriter, so keep in mind, too. And that's where we're saying her parents didn't feel like it was somebody struggling. Obviously, people can put on a mask.
Yeah.
But a lot of that wasn't adding up because a lot of the things looked like they were wiped free of fingerprints.
Oh, my God.
So the next day, Susan's boyfriend, Tim, tried to call Susan, and he didn't get an answer. And then he was like, fuck it. And then he went over and threw pebbles at her window. Was like, aww. Oh, she's probably still asleep. And then he was like, what the shit? Because she wasn't. And then he took a newspaper and he threw it and it made a loud bang. So he's like, surely she'll like come to the window. Yeah. She didn't.
Oh, my God.
So he like got a gut feeling that something was wrong. And he walked around the house and he found a window that was open.
No. Tim.
And which I'm like, ballsy. He had a gut feeling, I guess. Like, I've never been in that situation, but I still can't say I would do that. So he went into the basement. And I think something that's good is he did not see Nancy.
Okay.
He walked past Nancy and he didn't even realize. And he went into Susan's room. Because it was dark? Or,
like, how did he not see a body?
I don't know if he was in that area. It sounds like it was kind of a big basement. Or, you know, like, around the corner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if somebody just came down here and, like, did laundry and, like, somebody was dead right here, you would notice. Yeah. I do like my dead.
Yeah.
So
just flop.
Yeah, I don't know. So he went to Susan's room, and she was lying face down. And that wasn't, like, alarming yet. He's like, oh, she was just sleeping. How adorable.
Oh, no.
So he tried to wake her up and realized she wasn't breathing. And then he screamed. And then he went into David's room. And she had been shot in the heart, so she wasn't, like, so blood wasn't, like, gushing out of her. Because she had been shot through the heart, and, like, the heart, you know, pumps blood and everything. So there wasn't blood. So that's why he, like, didn't notice that right away. So he went to David's room, freaking out. And he saw David had blood everywhere.
Wait, why would it not be bloody if you were shot through the heart?
Because the heart pumps blood. And since it stopped, it was just, like, and it didn't go through her fully. So it just was, like, one shot.
Oh, it was, like, lodged in her still?
And it didn't go through her, so it just stopped her heart, and there was, like, no blood.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, and I was, like, I didn't know that was a... I would expect it
to be, like, spurting even more, or something.
Yeah. But it didn't go through her, because I feel like if it went through her, it would have been, like, emptied out.
It would be pooling and stuff.
And maybe the angle, like, maybe she was kind of on her side, on her back. I don't know.
Okay.
So he didn't see any blood. So he went to David's room, and there's blood everywhere, and David was half off the bed. So he was like, oh my fucking God. So he went to the master room and he called the police. And the police came and saw the ladder in front of the gun and the 35 caliber ammunition. And they were like, ah, like this.
It's like a murder suicide.
Yeah. They went to
where was Rob during this whole time?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They went to the basement. Seriously, like, I have one more sentence and I get into that. Yeah. You always are good at this. So they went to the basement and saw Nancy, and the gun had 3 rounds fired and 3 left in it, which was weird because I was like, didn't they shoot David twice? So that would be a grand total of 4, but I think that's such a small detail. Math. And, so Robert returned home at 4, and the whole house was just swarmed with news and police. And he was like, oh, my God, what happened?
I have no idea.
I'm sure he was a little bit surprised because, like, if you think about it, the only reason they were there is because of Tim. So he probably thought, like, he had time to, like, chill and everything. But immediately Arapahoe PD was like, this is fucking weird.
Yeah.
So they made him go, and his PR practices were going to come in handy. So he told them that he told Nancy he was going to leave her and she couldn't handle it. So she threw him out at 3 a.m. and he walked around behind a King Supers, then around South Glen Mall.
Oh my God.
And then went home, got in his car, and listened to a Broncos game. And the whole thing, and I'm like, that is the most Colorado shit I've ever heard.
Because
I was like, South Glen, been there. King Supers. It's King Supers is our Hy-Vee, if you will.
Like a Kroger.
Sorry, Iowa people. I'm sorry still. None of you have freaked out. I'm just being proactive. Anyways, so, yeah, he went to King Supers, walked around. And it's like, he said she threw him out at 3 a.m. So what was he? Well, and the mall's not open until 10. No. Sorry. Source.
And that was, like, at that time, it was, like, an actual mall where you, like, couldn't go in. Yeah. It wasn't an outdoor mall.
Yeah. And it was actually, like, in our heyday of South Bend Mall, like, before it is what mall. It is now. It, like, a lot of stores were closed down, but my dad, he went to Arapahoe High School, and he, like, lived in that area, and he said, like, apparently, like, South Glen Mall was, like, a really cool mall, like, in its heyday.
Okay.
And I was just like, is it?
Was it?
He made me go there to, like, shop for my mom for Christmas. I hated that mall so much. I was like...
But also, like, okay, my mind would be like, okay, my spouse just kicked me out for the night or whatever. I'm gonna go get a hotel. Not gonna, like, wander around King Supers
or an
empty mall.
I know. I was
like, what?
I'll go get a hotel room and I'll cry a little bit over it, and like, then I'll, like, go to bed.
Yeah,
what? Like, that's what I would do too.
That seems like a normal reaction,
because it sounds like he had enough money, so it wasn't a financial thing. Kind of like Tall Hot Blonde was like, he couldn't
let me just go to King Supers and hang out at 3 a.m.
And I just, like, was like, this doesn't make sense because, like, how long was he there? The mall opens, maybe theirs opened at 9. But, like, I was just like, I know that's, like, such a weird detail, but I was kind of stuck on that. So I immediately would have been like, you're a lying liar.
Liar.
And he listened to a Broncos game, and it's like, what time was the game at? I don't know.
Like, recorded?
What? I don't, like, on the radio.
Okay.
103.5, the Fox plays sports radio.
Do they?
During the game, yeah.
Oh. I thought they just play, like, classic rock.
They do. But, like, during the game, they... Oh. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You're welcome. 103.5, the Fox. Anyways. I don't know why I did that. Then he went to the animated Lord of the Rings movie.
What? Why is it animated? I didn't know that was a thing.
It was before, like, the live-action version.
Well, yeah, because that was, like, in the 2000s.
Yeah, but they, like, in the 70s had it animated.
Really?
Well, if you think about it, like, that would have been really hard to...
I didn't even know that
Star Wars was the thing. So, I don't know. Yeah, they didn't do live action until, like, the 2000s, and, like, Lord of the Rings was, like, in the 1970s.
Interesting. So, he's got a whole bunch of random shit that he's just allegedly doing.
Yeah, so... And
it sounds kind of dumb.
And not shockingly, his story changes. So the death was ultimately ruled a suicide, but there were a few weird things.
That's so stupid.
They tested Robert for gunshot residue.
And did they find it?
He came back positive.
Well,
they tested Nancy and she came back negative. Bingo bango, you would think, right? And the typewriter had been wiped down, which they thought was weird.
Yeah, super weird.
So
they're like, you're fine, Robert, just leave.
Yeah. So they questioned him again because they were like, a lot of this isn't adding up. I'm sorry, the gunshot residue, that's your...
If you weren't even there at all, how would that be on you?
Well, he gets questioned again, and then he explains it so bad.
Oh my God.
So he's questioned again, and he said he walked around the mall for an hour and a half. Also, the timeline, boo-boo, it doesn't make sense. She threw you out at 3 a.m. I don't know. It just, that bugs me. He got in his car, went to the end of the street, and turned around to go talk to Nancy. He couldn't find her, and he went down to the basement and saw her slumped over, and he picked up the gun and dropped it in horror, and then got in his car and listened to the Bronco game and went to see a movie.
What?
Because when you find your wife who had committed suicide and killed your children, you're going to go listen to a fucking Broncos game and go to a movie?
What?
Sir.
That makes no logical sense.
No sense. So they polygraphed him and he was able to change the test results because he would hyperventilate and say it was too stressful.
Well, also
his breathing patterns, that's what they measure. And he was just like, I can't do this. And like, because you're a lying liar, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So, but his story changed to them not fighting, that Nancy knew he was leaving. She was very calm about it.
What? And then she just killed herself in a calm state?
Yeah.
And then he found her and was like, well,
yeah,
it's Bronco game time.
What? I couldn't watch the Broncos because they were literally getting murdered by every other team. That's my joke. Anyways, but I just...
Wow.
It doesn't make sense. And also, like, it makes you seem really insensitive if you're doing that stuff.
Yeah, like, there's some definite red flags if you're like, I'm going to go watch a movie.
Yeah.
And not call for help.
Yeah. So, first off, like, okay. So, that had happened, and Robert was healing, and then his mom died from a stroke not long after that. So, the only woman in Robert's life was Sharon.
Oh, my God.
Who he moved into the house where he killed his family soon after the murder, like, 2 weeks.
He let Sharon move in with
him? Yeah. In the murder home.
And she was like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Sharon.
Everyone, especially neighbors, were like, what the fuck? Can it get worse?
Of course it does.
It always gets worse. That's my, what's my quote? Is I was like, oh, it gets worse.
It gets worse.
And it does. It gets
progressively worse.
They had a garage sale where they sold all of Nancy and Susan and David's belongings.
They didn't even keep, like, any, like, little mementos of, oh...
At a garage sale, nonetheless. Like, how disrespectful.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah, like, if something were to happen to homie on the floor, he's sleeping with the dog, you would be so weirded out if I was, like, selling his shit. You'd be like, oh, what's wrong with you?
No, that's so weird.
That's so weird and wrong.
His kids and his wife. Yeah. Like, your entire family, you're just like, well, we'll just get rid of it at a garage sale.
Yeah. Like, when my grandpa passed away, he had a lot of really nice clothing that he hadn't worn, and we donated it. Cause, yeah, like,
donate it.
Because, like, no one could wear it in our family, but, like, my mom went through and was like, will you guys wear this? And they're like, no. And a lot of the stuff had tags, and it was like, we donated it. And I'm like, I'm so glad that, like, him not wearing his stuff, it gets to go to somebody that needs it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know.
Selling it just seems icky.
Yeah. So they did that, and then Sharon adopted three dogs, and the dogs' names were, like, Sunshine, Shadow, and Molly, I think, were the names, which is actually, like, really cute. And she hated kids, not dogs. And Sharon had medication for what today would be known as, like, bipolar disorder. So she had a few, like, mental issues, which, you know, Robert fed off of that. But she was, like, on medication for it. So she was doing her best, which, in the 70s, it was, like manic disorder. It, like, had a horrible name.
Oh,
in
the 70s. Manic depressive?
It was, like, worse than that. Like, it was something, like, you know, that it's just, like, I'm so glad we've changed it to bipolar disorder. Because I think it just sounds, like, so much, I don't know, kinder. And, but they always went on hiking trips together because it was something they liked to do. So their favorite place to go was the Grand Canyon. Mm. And Sharon actually wrote a book in 1986 about her experience with the Grand Canyon. And it inspired others to go there and was pretty popular, which, that's cool.
Good job, Sharon.
Yeah. So during this time, Robert had gone back to Ames, Iowa to see his dad, who was, like, 92, but he was, like, you would know he was 92. He had so much energy.
Oh.
He was, like, living his best life. Like, he wasn't going to go from natural causes anytime soon. But a crazy circumstance happened when Robert went to visit him. His dad had a really bad fall, and he broke his hip, and he ended up passing away 2 weeks later.
Oh, my God.
And Robert got all his money.
Oh, no.
Such a crazy coincidence.
Dude, this guy is, like, twisted. Like, to kill your family
potentially
members?
And I'm... The dad thing was never proved, so I can't, you know, say that for sure. But, like, if we do all the unproved and proved, we're at five. Because that kid and his dad, but those are not proved, and we can't just say, like, yeah, he did it. Sure. I mean, you know, as much as we want to say he did it, you know.
Well, they also just, like, didn't charge him, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seems kind of stupid.
Yeah.
That it's, they couldn't find one thing to, like, really prove it.
Exactly. So it was kind of like, I mean, he was 92. They don't know. There was just other people saying he had a lot of energy, but again, you don't know. Like, you're.
Well, and you're
brittle.
Yeah.
Like, if you fall, it's
so sad. If you take
a
fall, it could be really bad.
It's awful. So, unfortunately, Sharon was having a mental health issue. She was just kind of, like, going through it. And we say that, but we don't know what kind of, like, mind games he was playing with her. They had married at some point during this. And she ran into a King Supers once and said that Robert had taken her car keys and wouldn't let her get out of town. She ran into a King Supers, which is really sad that she just had to, like, go somewhere public and
somewhere
just
to
scream
tell
it.
Someone,
and that he had threatened to kill her.
Oh, my God.
Cops came to check on her, and she told them to leave and then attacked them after. Ugh. She's like, leave me alone. And then the cops were like, you,
like, what the hell?
Us.
Yeah.
And then she attacked them, and then they took her for an overnight hold. And the two had divorced after this, and she got a pretty good alimony. Like, he says, she took him to the cleaners, and she moved out, and she just took one of the dogs. She took Shadow with her, which I think it's really sad to the other dogs, like Sunshine and Molly.
How could you only take one dog?
Yeah. I guess, like, she shouldn't have bought three, because she probably couldn't care for them.
I just love all my dogs, though.
I know. I
could take all of them.
Yeah. And Ruger and Aspen at this point are so connected, I feel like they wouldn't do. They don't, they're kind of sad. Like, you can tell they're so excited, like, when we leave and they're, like, separated. Like, when they see each other again, they're, like, stoked. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, Robert sold the murder house and moved north to Denver. And he put out a personal ad and found a woman named Donna.
Okay, this is the part I know.
Mm-hmm. So, Donna was 2 years younger, and she had been divorced, and they met each other at a bar in Denver. I would say meet cute, but not so much. So, Robert made it very clear that he liked hiking, and Donna's like, me too, but she really didn't like hiking, which was kind of...
It's like in the, like, you know, profiles where you're like I love hiking.
I like, love golf. And, like,
by hiking, like, I mean being outside drinking beer on a patio.
Yeah, and, like, getting margaritas. Yeah, like, that kind of thing. So she's like, oh my god, that sounds so cool, because he talked about the Grand Canyon. Like, homie had a hard-on for the Grand Canyon. Like...
Hard on for the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, like,
I mean, don't we all? It's magical.
I've never been, so I guess, like, I can't be rude, but he had it.
Well, you know, once you go there, you'll understand.
I will have a hard on for the Grand Canyon, even though I'm a lady. I will have a lady hard on. Anyways, but he just, like, always talks about it, and it's like, that's so cool, and I bet it's beautiful, but, like,
yeah,
calm down.
Calm down about the Grand Canyon.
So she was like, oh my god, sounds good. And then, like, narrator, it did not sound good. And she had a fear of heights, but she tried it for Robert.
Oh no.
Yeah,
that's not the place to go.
But right before the trip, Donna had hurt her knee, and it was difficult to do the hike, but Robert was cool with it. Also, if your lady friend or lady lover, whoever, or your friend, I don't know, person you're going with, neighbor, acquaintance.
Sure.
Just, you don't need to force them.
Especially, well, no.
Like,
I think in all things nature related or like endurance related, you don't need to like force people to do shit.
But I guess she was like probably like, I'm fine. And secretly, she's like, I'm not. You know?
She was like, when you wore flip flops or Red Rocks.
Listen, I don't regret it. And I looked fab.
You did look fab.
They were the strappy, like, yellow ones.
Yeah. Because like, it matched your whole, like, look.
Thank you. You know. They're somewhere in our house. I'm hoping that the ghost didn't hide them. But you just have to be like, oh my, if only I had my strappy sandals.
Well, I'm glad it gives it back.
Yeah, it's just, I don't like it. You know, just don't.
That's sketch.
Don't mess with Texas.
Is that the name of the ghost?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just want to say don't mess. And I was like, okay. Texas.
Sure.
So, the two got married August 18, 1990, because he can't stop marrying, and at Donna's house in Evergreen, Colorado. Oh,
Evergreen's so nice.
So, Robert was going to sell his house in Denver and move to Evergreen, because, like, obviously there's good hiking there.
That's, like, goals.
Yeah, right? Now it's, like, unattainable goals, but goals nonetheless. But, of course, he changed plans and made Donna, who was well-established in her community, move to Durango. Durango is beautiful. Durango is picturesque. It is beautiful. But again,
compared to Evergreen?
I haven't. Yeah. Well, it's different.
Okay.
But I'm saying, like, Durango's beautiful, but, like,
how did he go from Denver to Durango?
Well, you'll hear.
That's, like, far away.
Keep in mind, he has a hard-on for the Grand Canyon.
Oh, he fucking loves the
So
he loves the hard on. He loves the Grand Canyon.
He has a hard on for it. But there's not a lot to do in Durango. Granted, I haven't been there in probably like 10 to 15 years.
I'm like googling it.
But
no, not the car. Colorado.
Dodge Durango.
Yeah, that's like the first thing that came up.
Durango's like 2-3 hours south.
Okay, that is pretty.
Telluride. It's beautiful. It's just there's not a lot to do, and Donna doesn't sound like she's too, you know, and like,
I mean, she also doesn't love railroads.
I fucking love railroads.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's beautiful, but like not a lot there.
It's
like
on the New Mexico border.
Yeah, and it like limits jobs and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Once you start getting that way.
And I'm like, I haven't been there in 10 years 10 15 years. Maybe it's been built up.
Well, at this time though,
yeah,
like 90s,
I mean,
you said?
Yeah, it was like the 90s, so okay. Like I had been there at that time and there was not a lot. But Robert was closer to the Grand Canyon. He would about like put his trip in half. Danae just rolled her eyes so hard. But like I said, and Donna was a fitness instructor, and Robert worked at a radio station that played country music. And he talked about he was a big advocate for being against domestic violence. And I'm sorry, I laugh.
Oh my god, I remember.
But he
this.
Like was like, women need to be protected.
Yeah, shut the fuck up,
and
Robert.
I hate it because like you and me would be listening to that like, hell yeah. He's part of like what we did. Yeah, he's like part of our
he's
mission.
He's so slimy. He knows exactly how to like,
and he constantly
fit in
and lied like about how his family died. He would sometimes it was an accident. Sometimes his kids were addicted to drugs. Sometimes, you know, he told the like that she committed suicide, Jesus. It was changed all the time. And people talk and people were like, that's fucking weird. But people were like, maybe that's just his way to cope with it.
Sure.
I'm sorry. If you tell me how your family died, like I would never ask anyone because that's so weird. Personal. But if somebody told me like that their family had passed away and why, and then like somebody else and I were like, oh my God, isn't that so sad that they like got in a car accident? But it's like, what are you talking about? Stories? The wife? Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like,
what?
That's weird. I'd immediately be like, not okay with that person. So Donna didn't like the Grand Canyon.
She and her she hated it. No, I'm just kidding. In fact,
yeah, I think probably at this point, like how hard he probably was like, God, we should go to the Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon. And she's like,
Bob, we've been to the Grand Canyon 40 times.
It's beautiful. Let's move on. Let's go to the Four Corners.
It's like, so I beautiful. Never need to see another geyser in my life.
Yeah, I'm good.
We went to Yellowstone. It's like, yeah, I get it. It smells like farts. Like
it's gross.
It blows up.
Cool. Yay. Like, let's move on.
You've seen one geyser, you've seen them all, you know?
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
It's okay.
I need to get around. I feel like I'm like,
ugh. Old Faithful's like, cool, I guess.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to be like...
into geology things or something. I don't fucking know.
Geology? What is, like, Indiana Jones? What does he do?
He's like a... paleontologist? No.
No, that's dinosaurs.
He's a...
It's fine.
Archaeologist.
Yes, thank you. I'm like,
I was there's an A, and I was like, it's not an architect.
I'm sure people are like, archaeologist. So I was like, is he? No, he's not. It's fine. That's
my dream job.
We'll figure it out. So Donna didn't like the Grand Canyon. She and her son's like skiing, but he didn't.
And now you not like skiing if you like hiking? It's like the same fucking thing, but like winter.
I just like haven't gone skiing because of my back issues. Like I was never able to go skiing because.
Because of the scoliosis?
Because of the scolarosis, which somebody called it that once, and I just smiled and was like, all right.
Sure, okay.
She was a doctor. It was weird.
Oh.
So she didn't like the Grand Canyon. She's like, can we go skiing? And he was like, no. And then he was like, Donna's holding me back.
So, from the Grand Canyon. From the
Grand Canyon. When you got a hard on, you got a hard on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just live there.
Right? So, Easter weekend, he wanted to go on a hike to the Grand Canyon, and he made her go through super rough trails, but she kept up. And he made Donna go on a super dangerous trail, and he was like, come here! And he grabbed her, and he threw her off.
Wait, didn't they, like, take pictures or something, too? Yeah. Like...
And they kind of gave, like, measurements. It was something, and she, like, broke both of her legs, both of her arms, cracked ribs. It was so bad they don't know what, like... was the fatal blow, but he threw her off and she passed away
like a fucking cliff
doing something for her man's that she didn't want to do, which is like it's awful. So it's awful, but that makes it even worse because she was just doing something for him and then he was like, you're holding me back from my hard on for the Grand Canyon. So
oh my God.
So he went to the ranger station and terrifying. Instead of acting like it was an emergency, he waited in line. I'm sorry, if anything happened, I'd be like, move, fucking move. Sorry, your shit doesn't matter.
And you would think as my a husband, person,
yeah, my wife fell off the cliff. Like,
you'd be like hysterical.
Yeah. And he waited in line and he got to the front and he calmly told them that she had died and he made a story about her being dizzy. And the Rangers had a helicopter come to get her body. Again, she had so many injuries, they don't know which one was the fatal, one that killed her. But like, how awful. And I hope it was at the beginning. So again, like, you know,
how terrible too, like, can you imagine like the shock and like the range of emotions you would have to like feel in like the brief moments of you one being like pulled and then shoved off of a mountain
by the man you and then love?
While you're like in the air like, wait, what?
I'm gonna die.
Yeah. Oh my God,
I can't even imagine.
Oh, God, that's like my... No.
Oh, it gets worse.
I don't like cliffs.
My catchphrase is, it gets worse, because it does. He used Donna's death as a way to become more famous at the radio station. And so many people sent their condolences. So many people were like, I'm so sorry. Weren't people so like,
what about your whole other fucking family?
No, you can't do that when he just had another death.
I don't know. Seems suspicious.
So, end of
But 19... Sharon's, like, fully okay, right? Sharon escaped with the dog.
End of 1993, Robert started talking to Sharon again.
Oh my God, Sharon!
Sharon!
Sharon! Ozzy do Osbourne. Not go back to this man. He's a family murderer.
She was going through a hard time, So she rented out a room in Robert's house in 1994.
So he took advantage of
and
that.
And Shadow had died that year, so she was having a very hard time. He was older, so it wasn't like...
But still...
Yeah, and she was, like, really struggling with that. And, like, there's just a lot of issues going on with her family. And,
So he got her when she's vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
This dick.
So she wrote out a suicide letter and put it on her door because she was just renting out a room in his house. And she had said, like, she wanted to be with Shadow again.
She did? Or yes, he did?
She did.
Okay, it wasn't typewritten.
Because she had
and
issues.
And then wiped off.
Exactly. And she OD'd.
Oh, fuck.
And put a note on her door, like, just kind of saying what happened. And Robert found her, and she was awake, but in bad shape, and he brought her to the ER.
So how did he react with that? Was it, like, a real, like, actual, this is an emergency, like, a normal person?
She was awake, yeah. So
no, his reaction.
It seemed more, like, legitimate.
Okay, it wasn't, like, a calm, like, my girlfriend OD'd, and here is
a... But she was awake, so you gotta keep that in mind. So that's where it's a little less sketchy, is because she's, like, awake.
Okay, because she's still alive.
Uh-huh. And she told the doctor she took drugs, and they tried to do a reversal and like a charcoal treatment, and she passed away.
How old was she?
If I do the math, like 1993, she was born in 58, so 30.
That's so young.
36. That's so young.
Ugh.
36 or 37, you know, just depending. And she told the doctor she took drugs, and... The reason why I'm kind of like, I don't feel like he's super involved in this one, but just wait, is because she was still awake. So it wasn't like he was like,
well,
oh,
maybe
no.
He didn't know how much to give her.
Well, she was awake and she had talked to him.
Okay, fine.
So, yeah. And she told the doctor she had OD'd. I know, right?
Yeah. Because I don't trust him. I don't trust his ass.
So they wondered if he had anything to do with it because he was the only one in the room when she passed, and it seemed to go really fast.
Oh, no.
Like, the stuff didn't take. So, it just kind of, like, was a little bit fishy.
Yeah.
And this is a fun fact.
But what would he gain from it, though?
Probably just not having to deal with her. He was an egotistical prick. You think he's going to be like... Like, I'm sure he was like, I'm sick of dealing with drama. Women are so dramatic.
I mean, I guess he didn't have anything to gain from killing his whole entire fucking family either.
Yeah, nothing to gain from it. It just... Donna.
Donna.
Except for, like, her keeping him away from his precious Grand Canyon.
Oh, my God.
Precious. But if three of your wives die, people are going to start investigating.
People are starting being like, wait, why is
everyone
dying around
you? Because it was all in, tragic, weird ways.
Yeah.
So.
Super tragic ways. To where he gets a lot of sympathy and a lot of, like, love from the community.
Yeah. And I think him changing his story didn't help him either.
Yeah, I know. That's super weird.
Detective Cornish decided to go talk to him because he couldn't get the story of what happened to his wife straight. Like, he's like, wait, because
he's, like, forgetting what he said to one person.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just,
and
like,
and then to the other. He's like, wait, what did I tell you?
So he was like, I'm going to make him do a polygraph. And Robert said he wouldn't do it. He already did one. It was stressful. He was definitely hiding something.
I don't know. And polygraphs, we all know, like, are not, one, admissible in court. And I think...
But you know where to investigate when you ask questions. And I think that's what helps is, like...
I mean, I guess. But, like, honestly, even if I was innocent, like, if you asked me if I killed some random person I didn't know, but I had to take a polygraph test...
I'd freak out.
I would be freaked out. Like, I don't know. I'm just a nervous person, I guess.
Oh, for sure. Okay. So, Robert was meeting women in 1998. And he was meeting women online. And he met a woman from Pennsylvania, quit his job, sold his house, and just showed up at her doorstep without telling her.
What?
Saying he was moving in with her. And she was like, fuck, no, you're not.
What about the Grand Canyon?
I know, right?
It's the love of his life.
I know. He's leaving her behind? Forget about it.
He just showed up?
He just showed up, was like, I'm moving in with you. And he was, like, really pushy. And she
was
like,
oh, my God.
She was like, go back. Like, please leave.
I would lock my door. Get out of here.
Does that just quits your job?
That, like, in itself is a huge red flag.
Yeah. And so he went back to Colorado. So he moved to Grand Junction, and then he met a lady named Judy at a singles brunch. And thanks to Cornish, the detective, the FBI were tracking him at this point.
Yes.
Because everything is not adding up. Yes.
Because he's sketch, dude.
They just needed a confession.
Yeah.
So in 2000, Robert was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer and brain lesions, and the FBI wanted to see if they could get
A deathbed confession?
Yeah, something like that. Not even a deathbed. Or just a confession, like, of sorts.
Yeah.
Because you know how people, like, reflect on their lives?
And, yeah, like, and they're like, hey, granted, I was an asshole. I killed my whole entire family.
He's a psychopath. You killed your entire family. I don't know if he is diagnosed that, but...
And potentially Sharon.
Yeah. So, in 2001, Robert and Judy were married at the Grand Junction Courthouse. Why are you getting married? Why?
Because that's what he does.
It hasn't been going well for you or them.
Or, yeah, mostly so, them.
Poor Judy. Like, she probably, I don't know if she knows, but regardless, I feel horrible for her.
Well, he probably just left everything behind, you know?
Yeah, I was like.
No one's checking in on radio host from 3.5 hours away. Like, you don't know.
Yeah. So, and plus the internet wasn't, like, as big as it is now. Yeah, you can't
just, like, background check someone. Yeah. I mean, as easily as you can now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you probably could, but
it wasn't, like, a common practice.
No, not like it is now. I mean, remember that guy that owned the bar downtown and everyone found out he was, like, a sexual predator?
Fucking, yes.
And we ended up not going. We still haven't gone. We should go now because it's owned by, like, a good company. But, like, that shit will follow you around. This guy owned the bar, and, like, in 2 weeks, people were like, do not go to this bar. This guy's a sexual predator. So.
And the thing with Buffalo Exchange, that guy got exposed, like, hardcore on Instagram.
I know so many people that work there. And were, like, fans of him.
Ugh. God.
Which is crazy because I heard about that and I was like, all the people I knew, a lot of people that worked at Buffalo Exchange, and they were like, he was great to us, which I'm like, which is crazy. I mean, he did so many drugs too. They were like, that was their big thing. But anyways, so, and he was brought in for questioning and he saw the cops were onto him, and you know, they made him think, because he's an egotistical prick,
mm-hmm.
so many resources were going into finding him. And he was like,
I'm so smart.
I'm so smart. I've, like, tricked you. And they were like, God. They knew it was an ego thing. So they're like, we got to make him feel like he's more like
he's in charge. And yeah, he's running exactly. The game.
You think you're in charge.
But you're not.
But he realized, you know, he was figured out. And he told them he wanted to talk to Judy. And they let him go home, and they're like, he didn't say anything to Judy.
So wait, they, like, fully brought him in for questioning, and they're just like, you know,
he's like, we
just can't figure it out.
He's like, I'll talk to you. I really need to talk to Judy. And they're like, at this point, they're like, we just need a confession. Yeah. Like, whatever. And they're like, they don't know if he said anything to Judy. So they had the info, and then he told them the truth of what happened to his original family. And they could tell he was kind of holding back on Donna, because I don't know. Like, it's like you already confessed to, like, 3, and you confessed to killing your fucking children, you sick fuck. So it's like, might as well just tell them what happened.
Yeah.
And they told him if he confessed, they would set him up with a profiler. And Ego Man was like, oh, a profiler. They're going to study me.
Yeah,
he wants to be studied. Hi, Mindhunter.
Oh, my gosh.
But he was like, yes, I pushed her off the cliff. But he would never admit to Sharon. Because Sharon was kind of like the girl who kept coming back, and he kept finding. But he wouldn't admit to that.
I still think he did it just because
he's a dick. It's weird, but again, like, it's one of the, like, 3 that we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that kid, his dad, and, like, that one. So it's like, probably, but we don't know.
But, yeah.
Again, we don't know. So maybe not. So they let him have 30 days to get his affairs in order because.
Really?
Keep in mind, he's terminal. So he's.
Okay, fine. Not. I mean, but still.
He should not have 30 days. But it's like, again, like, he can't really do much. So
he didn't try to kill Judy?
No, Judy was fine.
Judy was safe.
She, like, supported him.
He was like, I think I'm putting my killing days behind me.
I guess.
Judy really changed him.
Couple's brunch. So he went to the Grand Canyon for the last time.
Oh, God.
And his lawyers tried to argue, because of his brain lesions, that he was not in the right frame of mind, like, when he confessed everything.
Shut the fuck up.
And it's like, he was like...
He knew exactly.
He accepted it. I guess the one good thing is he's like, no, I did it.
Okay,
good. And he was just like, no, it's fine. And he pled guilty to 4 murders, and he died September 2001, not really getting justice for anyone.
So when did they bring him in again? It was like
2000
early...
was when they were on to him, and he got diagnosed and everything.
Okay.
So it was like September 2001. So it wasn't, and you know, and how trials are and gathering evidence. So when I was listening to this, they said Grand Junction, and my mom was actually born and raised in Grand Junction. Like, my dad moved her to, like, Denver. Mm-hmm. Grand Junction, I don't know so much now. I actually went there this summer to see my aunt, which was like really exciting because Grand Junction had changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that. And I still think it's like, I mean, compared to Denver, it's very small.
Very much a small town.
Yeah. So yeah. My mom grew up there. It was super small town vibes there. And I asked her, I was like, do you know anything about Robert Spengler? Because I'm like, if it's in Grand Junction, I'm sure my mom.
Yeah.
And my mom's like, she said, she's like, I don't really know. And then she was like, and I kind of explained to her Family Annihilator, and she's like, what's that? And I'm like, Chris Watts. And she's like, ah, I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out my uncle was friends with David. Yep.
Oh my God.
But it makes sense because like he was he was the same age as yeah. David, and it was Littleton. And Littleton, like Grand Junction, was like kind of a small town.
Yeah.
So it was kind of crazy. There's like this story, you know, it was just crazy because it's like, oh my gosh.
So wait, your uncle lived in Littleton?
Uh-huh. Well, they went to Arapahoe High School.
Okay.
Him and my dad and.
But your mom is from Grand Junction.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So that's why I asked her about it. But she was like, yeah, like Uncle Steve, rest in peace. He was friends with David.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that insane?
Dude, weird.
Yeah, so I was just like, that's kind of like a close to home story.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought that was crazy. And, you know, I was listening to, I'd heard the story from Park Predators like mm-hmm. years and years ago. And I was kind of like, oh my gosh, you know, and it brought it all back. And then I was listening to My Favorite Murder and I was like, I'm going to ask my mom. Because like Grand Junction, she knows like
yeah.
Ted Bundy killed a girl in Grand Junction. My mom was friends with the family.
Oh, God.
So that was like a crazy, like close to home. I'm like, mom, you're surrounded by tragedy. Stop that.
Oh my God.
So I thought that was kind of like something interesting and like really sad because it's like, that's like a degree of separation.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
And to lose I don't know, like that, it's just so sad that they were so young.
So young and like their own father, their dad.
Like the person you're supposed to trust the most yes. in the world.
Yes, your dad and your mom should be the people that are supposed to protect you and yeah. love you and everything. And it's just like, he was their undoing. And, you know, I think they sounded like well-adjusted kids because they were dealing with so much drama with their dad. And, you know, and I feel like Nancy was put in the middle of it and they tried to make her the killer. Like,
yeah.
What?
Well, it just seems so like, I don't know. Like, you don't have to be that dramatic. Like, just get a divorce.
Yeah.
See your kids on the weekends.
I think he missed, like, I think, like, when he went to, like, marriage counseling, you know, he didn't. He probably missed the part, like, he probably went to the bathroom and they were like, also, if you don't like your person you're married to, you can divorce them.
Like, it's totally fine.
He's like, I kill them? And they're like,
no, divorce.
I kill them. Oh, okay.
Okay.
We tried our best.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That one's crazy.
I know. I like to do stories about Colorado because we have, you know, because people haven't been giving us suggestions. But, you know, I thought that was kind of cool to have, like, sort of a connection. Not cool
yeah.
as in, like, that's fun. But, like, interesting because it's, like, it's just what you think is just a regular person. And it's, like, they have a backstory. They have, like, lives. They have friends, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, like, put in perspective.
Dang. Well, that was, yeah, that was a wild ride.
Yeah, I'm glad he was caught, though.
I'm
It always feels good. Like,
even granted, if he was, like, yeah. he died shortly after, like, it's still good that, like,
yeah,
there was a little bit of justice in that.
Exactly.
He admitted it.
Like, it's better to know, like, even if they didn't, you know, serve good time
mm-hmm.
and everything, it's good to know that, like, it's case closed and you don't have
yeah.
to wonder for the rest of your life.
Totally.
So, yeah, but, well, like I said, if you have any case suggestions, you could, sorry, I'm like hiccuping. I don't know where that's coming from. You can email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
Or you can hit us up on Instagram at mysteriousmavenspod.
We also have a group on Facebook. It is not getting traction, homies. So we need your help.
But also, like, I'm not on Facebook. I just don't. Facebook is dumb.
I know, but there's so
it's
many.
It's for, like, old people.
It's for old people, but, like, I'm old.
We're not that old.
So I like to put my political posts that I did not research at first.
Yeah. And just comment on, like, random people's photos, like, Janine, call me.
Janine, I was diagnosed with influenza. Call me. I'll tell you,
like,
all about
what
it.
Are
it's like, what are you doing?
So anyways, we could try to get our Facebook up and running if you guys participate, but mostly Instagram. look at the pictures. We're going to post pictures of Rob and
probably his family and probably Sharon and Donna and Judy. It's going to take a while to find all that. So please make that work, not in vain. Yeah. Because I'm probably going to be doing this half asleep on Wednesday morning because that's who I am as a person lately.
Procrastinators, yeah. Unite.
But if anyone's tomorrow. Listening to it on Tuesday night, like, good for you. But, like,
yeah,
you're going to have to wait.
You're going to have to wait. Sorry.
So.
Okay.
All right. Bye.